Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
And welcome back to the number one motivational podcast on the planet. It's your humble host, Dr. Samuel P. Crowley, live from One Saturday Plaza here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Great to have you along for the greatest 20 minutes of your day every single day. You can catch us on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Oh, by the way, when you do go to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating so other people can find your podcast on iTunes. Leave a great comment as well. It's just good. You know, it's good juju for everybody out there. It gets the karma flowing. It lets everybody know you're excited and you're fired up and you like all this entrepreneurial training. Got a great show today, too, by the way. Today's show brought to you by myself and a great business opportunity. Head over to everydayisaturday.com/doobly, D-U-B-L-I. See how my buddy Christian made $100,000. We have six. You know, we have six people in their very first month made $100,000. First month. It's crazy. Everydaysaturday.com/doobly. It's amazing. $100,000 the first month. Not saying you're going to. Oh, income disclaimer. That's not going to happen for you unless you have massive, massive influence on the internet. If 10% of that happened for you this month, would you be happy? Of course you would. So head on over there. It's really wild. It's very shocking. Shocking video. I was on Ancestry.com. I've been kicking around the net site for the past year or so. I set up a free account, and I was doing some research. I found some really wild things out there. Documents. My mom signed a cadet nursing corps card. I'm probably butchering it. If I had it up in front of me right now, I could actually tell you exactly what it was. I'll try to get that document on my computer while I'm still doing the show, but it's really wild. My mom was a nurse, but I've only known my mom for in her 40s or 50s or 60s. You know, I knew, as an older guy, when I was a kid, I used to think my mom was so old. I'm 46. When my mom was 46, I was 6 years old. And she had eight kids, man, raising them by herself. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard in your entire life? And eight kids. I mean, I got four kids, and I can't even imagine doubling that. I got it right here. It's the United States Cadet Nurse Corps membership card. And she was 17 years old when she signed it, and her maiden name was Guider, Catherine Guider. And it's just wild, man. Seeing my mom's signature when she was 17 years old on a United States Cadet Nurse Corps. Now, my mom went on to be a nurse for the rest of her life, working in the hospital, working at a factory, Case Cutlery Knives in Bradford, PA. That's, you know, when I knew her. My first childhood memories were of my mom getting picked up at the house every morning about 7 a.m. by the knife. And the knife was a big blue van that Case Cutlery. Have you heard of Case Cutlery Knives? That's where they're made, in Bradford, PA. Zippo lighters, too. Remember, if you ever have a Zippo lighter, they were made in my hometown of Bradford, PA. And the van used to come with a big knife on it, Case Knives, that was painted on the side, picked my mom up with other people who didn't own a car and drive her to work. It was sometimes she'd miss the van and have to go literally hitchhike, or when we did have a car, one of these jalopies that we used to own back in the 70s, it would break down all the time, and Bradford would be about 30 below in the wintertime. My mom would literally hitchhike to work in the morning with her nurse's uniform on. I mean, just a hard-working lady, you know? And I was on Ancestry.com just kind of tracing back my mom and my dad and their family tree. My mom's parents, James Guider was his name, and I think Kathleen was her mom's name. I've never met. I think there's probably a photo of me with my mom's mom, which would be my grandmother. I realized that. But there's a photo But I don't have any recollection of ever meeting my grandmother, grandparents on any side. I have no recollection of meeting them ever. And it's just fascinating when you trace your heritage back. And how this relates to today's show and the entrepreneurial podcast is think about people back in the 1920s and 1930s and you know, when the Industrial Revolution was going on and people were coming over here, you know, America, the big melting pot of ideas and ethnic backgrounds and people coming from all over. I'm sure you know, have a story about your relatives who settled here from wherever country they came from. It's a land of opportunity. It wasn't a land of handouts. It wasn't a land of all of this welfare abuse. It wasn't a land of what are you going to do for me, you know, and people looking just to be taken care of. It was entrepreneurs who came over here and settled, but they didn't settle. You know what I mean? They were called settlers, but they did never settle. They got their moving, and they started a shoe repair business, or they started an automobile cleaning. God, they didn't even have cars. I mean, think about that. Think about how Henry Ford even invented like the Model T. That's crazy to think. What resources did he use? I mean, nobody built a car prior to that. Nobody flew an airplane until the Wright brothers started, you know, messing around in Kitty Hawk. By the way, they're from Dayton, Ohio. And, you know, just built the airplane. It's just, I don't know, man. Maybe it's the cynic in me sometimes who thinks we don't even tap into 1/100th of what we can possibly do on a daily basis. You know, I'm not saying we all got to go out there, build a car, build an airplane, but boy, I'll tell you, it got me fired up yesterday when I was going through Ancestry.com, because not only being able to see these documents, by the way, I don't know how they get copies of these documents, but I'm looking at the census of my mom's household back in 1930, you know, and who was living there, and her brothers. I only met one of her brothers. He was an FBI agent. Jim had a big blue Cadillac. I remember he drove to Bradford back in the mid-70s. Jim Guider had a big blue Cadillac. And he had a personalized license plate that said Jim 30. And I think that was represented the amount of years. He was very proud of his FBI years. He was a special agent, and he spent 30 years in the FBI. I think that's why the license plate said Jim 30, and then he retired. Fascinating man. And I remember him telling me before he died as well, I was like, Sam, if you ever want to get me a book, give me a book on swimming. That's all I want. I want to read as many books on swimming, because he used to swim miles and miles after he was in his 60s and 70s and I don't know, probably into his 80s, and he just loved to swim. And it's that whole generation, you know, hard workers, the entrepreneurial spirit. And I realize we came into the industrial age and then people began working in factories and things like that. I get that part, but I'm going back even before that, where we had to really just sell to eat. I mean, we didn't have computers, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have a way to, you know, click and meet people right away, friend somebody on Facebook or hit somebody up on Twitter or connect with them on LinkedIn. I mean, I think life is a lot easier now in some ways, especially starting a business, than it ever was 100 years ago, because we have the internet. I mean, the internet right now, you can connect with somebody in Australia if you live here in the United States, and you can sell them a product. You've never met them before. You probably will never meet them in your entire life, but they speak your language if you live here in the United States, or vice versa, if you live in Australia, listen to the show, you can connect with somebody in the U.S. and sell them a product that you created, an audio, a video product, an ebook. You'll never have to meet these people, not like it was 100 years ago. We had to actually shake the hand, look them in the eye. There was no credit card, right? So you had to exchange money, dollar bills here, our currency in the U.S., and you actually had to exchange money in a regular old-fashioned transaction. Now, my God, you can create a landing page, capture somebody's email, or they can find your blog or your YouTube video or your podcast like this. You can start building a relationship with them if you know how to do that, which mainly is just being yourself, you know, not being somebody else. Just being authentic is the greatest way to build a relationship. And then you can, once you have that relationship and you've brought down the tension, task tension level, there's a model for that called the task tension level, that the more rapport you build with someone, the tension comes down, they feel more at ease with you, and they're willing to trust you more, and then boom, sell them, or bring them on board your business opportunity, you know, or, you know, whatever you want to do. But it's so easy now compared to 100 years ago. I would encourage you, man, go to Ancestry.com and open up an account. It's a free 14-day trial. I did this a year ago, so my 14-day trial ended quite a bit. And look, I'll be 100% candid with you. I'm that guy. I'm that guy that started the free trial and never took action. I got sidetracked. I don't know what was going on. This was probably 8, 9, 10 months ago. But I got reignited with it a few weeks ago, and I've been digging around, and I'm just fascinated by what life was like 100 years ago. Of course, I started daydreaming, like most people. Go to a website, they click, they end up on Amazon, they bought a television, and then they don't even know why. That was me on Ancestry.com. I clicked, and I'm just looking around thinking, God, what was life like in the 1920s? What was life like in the 30s, you know, before we had all these great conveniences, you know, and life expectancy was much less. Medicine, I mean, we had a baby girl August 17th at 24 weeks. I talk about our baby Susan, miracle baby, who will be 60 days old tomorrow. And she would have never made it, never. Forget about the 1920s. 15, 20 years ago, she would have never made it. But boy, 100 years ago, think about that. I mean, how much life has changed and how much easier, but yet we still have people complaining. Like it's never going to be good enough for these people. Well, my internet's down. Well, my boss is mad at. Well, yeah, I don't have a job. Go get one. Go start one. You don't need a good job. Go start a business. It's more fun anyway to do that. Well, minimum wage is, it should be. It's, you know, it's $14 an hour in Canada. So who cares? Why are you arguing for the minimum? The key word in minimum wage is minimum, all right? Everybody wants to battle to get that rate. And look, I'm all for it. Somebody wants to get paid $8.25 an hour, $9.25. Hell, pay them $15 an hour. I think that's great. Do it. You'll get better people because you'll have more people competing. I'm all for it. Supply and demand, let it rip. Whatever you want to make it, make it, because I don't play at minimum wage. I've played at minimum wage, trust me, a lot in my life. I remember mowing the lawns for the Parks Department in Bradford, PA, making $4.25 an hour. And I think minimum wage was $4 an hour. So they gave us a little love and bumped it a quarter. We've all worked for minimum wage. Some of us thought it sucked and never wanted to do it for the rest of our lives. Others kind of settled there and said, you know, it's the battle I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick this battle. I am going to be that person who always demands that minimum wage be higher because that's where I'm going to just settle. Talk about settlers. That's where a lot of people just settle, at that low rung of the ladder, and they're going to complain that it's not high enough. Look, it doesn't need to be high enough. Why don't you say, I'm going to just take one more step up? You know how you do that? You know how you leave that minimum wage mentality? You know how you demand that you get paid way, way more money than you've ever made in your entire life? Is you get some, what's called, in Think and Grow Rich, specialized knowledge. And if you've never read Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, please read it and open up to the chapter Specialized Knowledge, because Think and Grow Rich is one of those books you don't need to read from the beginning to the end. You can bump around into different chapters. Talks about the power of a mastermind. It's just a really good book. And I'll be honest with you, it's not my favorite book of all time. You know, the book that had the greatest impact that I read at the exact same time in my life was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Because Robert Kiyosaki spoke to me as if he was Sam Crowley 30 years ago. I just related to that book better. Napoleon Hill, it was written in the 1920s or whenever, speaking of, you know, that era. And he followed Dale Carnegie around for the longest time and just wanted to know how to think and grow rich. That's the beauty. You really can think and grow rich. To me, that means you can conceive of products and services right now that you can just go sell people. I talk about Dustin, my one of my proteges back in the day, 6, 7 years ago, where he was in the military police at Wright Patt Air Force Base here in Dayton. He had served in Iraq, and he had come back here and worked in the military base as a policeman. And he worked the nights. He worked the graveyard shift, like 11 to 7, or maybe it's 12 hours, 7 to 7. And he'd get home, and he would put ads on Craigslist. He would look at Craigslist and buy appliances, refrigerators, televisions, things like that for $50. On average, he'd take this jalopy pickup truck that he had at the time, and he would drive it around, pick up these appliances, and then bring them home and just wipe them down, clean out the fridge, the freezers, things like that, and then sell them for 600% profit. You know, he was making $6,000 a month on the side. On the side. That doesn't include what he was getting paid as a military policeman for the Air Force. The point is, it was grunt work. I mean, it's not work I would want to do. I don't want to drive a truck around, or maybe I will. I don't know. I always talk about mowing lawns. I don't know why I have this infatuation with mowing lawns, but I was in Home Depot again Sunday looking at these zero-turn mowers, and I just don't know what it is. They draw me in. I don't know why they draw me in. It's visualization. That's Think and Grow Rich. That's another chapter in Think and Grow Rich, the power to visualize. I don't know what it – I visualize myself on a zero-turn mower – mowing either a golf course or these big lawns that are in my neighborhood. I just don't mind. And it's not nothing to do about the money. It's just something, I think, the tranquility of it all. I like the, I don't know what it is. I don't know why. Somebody's got to get inside my head, which is a very, very scary place, and tell me why I fantasize about zero-turn lawnmowers that I see at Home Depot. I don't know what it is. But Dustin was able to make money on the side, a lot of money, probably six times what he was making in the Air Force, just being able to do that work. He didn't want to settle for minimum wage. Ended up buying foreclosures, condos, flipping those, buying $1 million of real estate on a land contract. It was just crazy what he was able to do because he was just thinking. He was going back to what people used to do in the early 1900s, is just sit around and think, but not sit around and mope. You know, it's okay to sit, take a breather, go grab a cup of coffee, tea, whatever your favorite beverage is, and think about how you can earn $20 an hour, $30, $40, whatever, wherever you are right now, think about how you can double that. If you're making salary right now, think about how you can double that in the next 6 months. Hell, you could do it in the next 6 weeks, but I don't want to scare anybody. Oh, I don't think I can. Well, you can. I mean, I always thought $100,000 a year. I say this all the time, and this is just my own story, but I want you to be able to see it through my eyes here in this podcast today. I used to sit around in my office thinking that $100,000 a year, I wouldn't even know what to do. Like Robin Leach would be interviewing me on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And I used to have this dream when I was sitting in a cubicle making $9,990 base salary a year. Targeted earnings was $23,000. I was in telephone sales, and our salary plus commission. Target means if we hit 100% of our sales quota, we'd make $23,000 that year. That was 1990. And then in 1998, 1999, I did make $100,000 as a sales rep. My base salary was $50,000. I think it was $55,000, whatever it was. I made another $45,000 in commission and bonus, made $100,000. And you know what? Didn't feel any different. I didn't feel it. I mean, Robin Leach sure as heck wasn't coming to interview me. All right. And I thought, wow, that was pretty easy. I mean, I worked hard. I was a good sales rep. But that wasn't difficult. I worked actually less than what I worked sitting in a cubicle making $10,000. Think about that for just 1 second. If you're driving, you probably just went off the road. I worked less, meaning I put in less brain power and less physical labor making 10 times the amount that I made 10 years prior to that. I made $100,000 working part-time. I made a $10,000 salary, 23 targeted earnings, working a lot harder and giving up a lot of my free time. So I started thinking, wow, this is pretty wild. It's called the power of leverage, and we don't have time to go into it on this particular podcast, but when you know how to leverage your time using other people's resources, other people's money, other people's efforts and things like that, you don't put your feet up, but you can. If you want to, you don't necessarily put your feet up and just say, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money today and not do any work. It's not about that. The real work is really in the brain power. It's really in the thinking and growing rich. It's in the thinking and growing rich. There really is a concept, and it really does work. But you would never get that thinking about minimum wage. I believe people back in the early 1900s were thinking about growing rich. Now, they had to work. They had to exchange hours for dollars a lot of the times because the power of leverage didn't exist until people started opening up hardware stores and grocery stores. And then you could just have all these products, open up your store, and people would come in and purchase those products. But really, it was demographically driven too. You had to live in that particular neighborhood. Guys, listen to me. I'm going to wrap the show up. Listen to this, okay? There are no boundaries anymore, right? You can put the shingle outside your window and say open for business virtually. That would be your website as the gateway for people to come in and do business with you. If you have network marketing, MLM experience, things like that, it's the same thing. It works in every business, every opportunity out there. You just have to understand that there is so much abundance out there. We haven't capped off the amount of customers that are going to be doing business with you over the next 6 months, over the next 3 months. You really got to think, what is the product I'm going to deliver? What's the service? What's the brand? What's the value? What's the niche? Don't be like everybody else out there and say the same stupid things. You get on Facebook, everybody's pimping something. All of it sounds the same, okay? Be unique in how you market. Be unique in how you get your message. Be vulnerable. Allow people to see who you really are. Don't hide behind some stupid website where people don't even know who you are. That's a corporate type of brochure site. Get a little edgy with your marketing. Let people take a look inside of who you are, because you know what's going to happen? Your value is going to increase, because you know why? You're going to be attracting a specific type of customer, client, individual who will pay you way more money. Would you rather have one person pay you 100 grand, or would you rather have five people pay you 10 grand? You know, five people, three of which you don't even want to do business with, and they're time vampires sucking the life out of you, right? I got another question. They're firing, blowing up your email. No, find one client that'll pay you a lot of money. Find one business partner that will earn you significant amounts of money. I promise you it will happen. It's happened for me, and if it can happen for me, it can definitely happen for you, because I ain't even that smart. Yeah, I just enjoy what I do. And I love what I do, and I've really created this avatar of the client, of the customer that I want to do business with, and I won't settle. I don't take clients. I don't do business now with them. I don't go speak at events. I don't go chase a speaking gig now like I used to. I did. I told you the stories, driving all the way up to Rockford, Illinois, speaking not to anybody. Nobody showed up. Drove 8 hours, and nobody showed up. Doesn't happen anymore. I'm not saying it would never happen again. We all make mistakes. I'm sure it's going to happen. Maybe one. It ain't gonna be because I'm desperate. Those days are over. Leverage, baby. Leverage and love what you do. And think back to the early 1900s, man. These people were happy to make a nickel for the whole day. They didn't have the internet. They had to do business within a 2-mile radius. They didn't even have cars. Anything they had to do, their clients had to walk in to get it done. That ain't you, man. People would be running to you. You know, all they got to do is click. Just click to find you. Oh, man, fire. I get so jacked up talking about the power of being an entrepreneur. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? My name's Sam Crowley, host of the number one motivational podcast on the planet, Your Best Friend in Business. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.